I think in the beginning, when we first started, we didn't have a clue. Like, we knew what we wanted to achieve, but we didn't have any idea how to go about that. And we didn't actually know how the processes worked or who to speak to or any of those things. Whereas now, with the information that we've got now, it means that we know exactly where to go to and how to format things and how to get answers and those kind of things. So we've started doing petitions, and funnily enough, because we are not just based in the Northern Cape, it's helped us outside of the Northern Cape as well, and it's helped us to empower other organizations to also take their questions through. But it's made us really clear on how to do that, what kind of information you need, what kind of evidence you need, and how you put it over, and then how to drive that.
Welcome to the Conversation with Democracy podcast, where Democracy Works Foundation uncovers the successes and challenges of initiatives underway to build resilient democracies in Africa. Join us to find out about our work with our partners to build inclusive, equitable, and sustainable consensus democracy. In other words, democracies that work. This podcast series spotlights the work of the Civil Society Participation in Provincial Legislatures project that seeks to build bridges between local civil society and provincial legislatures. My name is Liz Letebele, and this podcast is brought to you by Democracy Works Foundation. COVID-19 has fundamentally changed all aspects of our lives, including the ways in which we interact with each other and with our elected representatives. Civil society organizations are often at the forefront of trying to address the urgent needs the pandemic has caused. Civil society organizations, therefore, have a very important role to play during states of national disasters, as well as during times of prosperity and growth. They provide a critical link between elected representatives and members of our communities, who are often marginalized and vulnerable to experience violations of their rights. It was already a struggle and often resource-intensive process for many civil society organizations to engage with their provincial legislatures. During the first national lockdown, the global move from office spaces into our homes, face-to-face meetings became impossible. Both provincial legislatures and civil society organizations had to drastically rethink their work. Not only did they have to reassess how to continue existing engagements with public officials, they also needed to build relationships that can provide badly needed help and relief to communities and drive community oversight and accountability throughout the crisis. Today, we speak to a representative from the Northern Cape Civil Society Coalition, an informal grouping of community organizations operating in the province. The coalition extends beyond the CSPPL working group. Using virtual platforms such as Facebook, they both profile their work and engage public officials on their needs. Coalition members have participated in many of the innovative response the Northern Cape Provincial Legislature championed during the crisis. Join Celeste Lowe from the Optimistic Bikers Against Abuse, representing the Northern Cape Civil Society Coalition, and Mira Dutschke, South Africa Program Manager at the Democracy Works Foundation, as we explore how civil society organizations, through coalitions, can work together to increase public accountability, to conduct oversight, and promote public participation during a global pandemic and beyond.
So, Celeste, thank you so much for joining us in this podcast series. Can you please give us a bit of information about your organization and what you do and what you're working for?
So I'm from Optimistic Bikers Against Abuse, and we're based in Kimberley in the Northern Cape, but we have a footprint, a national footprint, because a lot of the work that we do is online, so we can have a small staff component with a large reach. And we work in the gender-based violence and trauma abuse field from a human rights perspective. We have a three-pronged strategy. So our first strategy is crisis management to healing, which is all individually based and we think is really important because healing is the answer for our country. That's what we believe. And then the second thing that we do is education and activism and advocacy, which is all around people understanding the issues, how to use processes. We've added in there now. And then the third one is networking and doing this kind of legislation work and doing programs with other organizations and working on legislature, where legislature needs to change and all of those things.
Celeste, you have been part of the civil society coalition that has been part of the CISPL project, I think since the beginning in the Northern Cape. And I know that, you know, it has been a struggle to find the public participation processes to use. Can you tell us a little bit about some of the public participation initiatives that you have taken? You've obviously mentioned the writing of petitions. Yes. What other engagements have you had?
We're also in discussions on certain groups and platforms. We've formed coalition groups and we speak together. We've got a bigger voice. And also we've developed relationships with people who work in legislature. So that for us is really great. It's not the easiest thing to keep going in COVID times, but you at least are aware of the fact that you need to have these relationships and you need to, as an organization, you need to be a bridge between the community and the legislature so that legislature can hear the voice of the community, but also so that the community can understand the voice of legislature. Because I think that's where the hugest gap is in our democracy, is that people are not understanding each other. There's a lot of miscommunication happening. I think the biggest thing is that if you haven't engaged with legislature or the legislative bodies, is that you don't understand that they do actually want to hear your voice. And the biggest thing for me was that actually you can bridge that gap, that you can take your concerns. And yes, they will listen. That doesn't mean that you'll always get the outcome that you want. And it might be a longer process, but at least it's the door opening to discussion, saying, you know, you're doing this initiative in the community, but actually this is not what the community needs or wants. So I think that for me was the biggest takeaway, was that government is actually reachable. Whereas the perception in society and amongst organizations is that government is not reachable.
The CSPPL project was active in three provinces, the Northwest, Limpopo, and the Northern Cape. We spoke to Celeste about what she thinks were the key ingredients that made the Northern Cape such a success story in terms of how both CSOs and the provincial legislature participated and engaged with each other.
I think one of the things is that because the Northern Cape sees itself as being kind of isolated from the rest of South Africa, we have this vision that we're the lost province, right? And we have a very vibrant young activist community because of the nature of our province, which is, you know, we've got these towns that are so far apart from each other and all of these things. We have to be innovative in order for people to get what they need. So I think we are an innovative group of people, but I also think that we have a yearning for change and we have a yearning for wanting things to get done properly. And maybe it's just because of how the Northern Cape is isolated like that, that has created that environment of, you know, working together, because we have to. The other thing is, I think that we're very lucky to have some really progressive people in legislature that are willing to talk and listen. They're much more welcoming and they don't see you as being the enemy kind of thing. We have strong people heading up organizations and hardy people because we've had to make it on our own because we haven't had the funds that we need and that kind of thing. So we are resourceful people. So I think that's maybe what's made the difference.
One of the outcomes that was also very unique in the Northern Cape, following, you know, many interactions that we had, was the kind of strengthening of the CSO coalition, which also made itself very visible through an online communications campaign on social media, which also the Northern Cape legislature picked up. Tell us a bit more about the coalition and about the communication strategy and if there has been any impact as a result.
Yes, so the coalition initially started as, you know, although we are organizations working in different fields of charity or welfare or social services, we need to have one voice on certain topics. So it's not about our personal goals as or our organization goals, but on certain things that are affecting all of us, we could have one voice. So what we did is we combined as a CSO coalition, and then we decided to have a strategy to announce our presence to society as well as to the Northern Cape legislature, and then to take that forward with social media campaigns or speaking out on what we need to speak out on that platform, which is then shared with the Northern Cape legislature. And it's really been very dynamic. And I think it's very interesting the kind of people that look at that information, because it's not just organizations that are looking. As you said, the legislature is watching us. Just general people in society are really enjoying the fact that they know that we're doing something and they know that we're present. Because I think communication on all levels has been really not right for society. Society doesn't know what's going on. And because we're so busy with our work, we don't realize that we're not communicating what we're saying. And I think it'll show through its rewards later this year, next year, you'll start to see that it actually does have a huge effect.
So we've obviously talked about, you know, the Women's Parliament and the closed MPL CSO meeting, where there was also very constructive dialogue about building partnerships and building greater stakeholder relations with the CSO coalition. And it was really great to see how, you know, organizations like yourself independently took on the recommendations that were made, which also shows, you know, goodwill on your part on working together. What has the impact of that been on your organization? Has this new way of working with the legislature kind of had an effect on your organization, the work that it does and the outcomes that you're hoping to achieve?
Yes, I think definitely so, because it's taken away a lot of our frustration. Like if we get to a certain level where we've escalated things up the channels and we realize we're not getting anywhere, we know what to do next. So your next isn't like, well, now I'm just going to throw a tantrum because I don't know what to do next. We now have a plan. So we go through all the channels. We know what we're supposed to do, and then we know what to do next. But not only that, because we have a lot of communication with other organizations, it's given us the opportunity to tell other organizations, but have you tried this? And have you tried that? And we've seen the results of that for other organizations as well. So I think that is really important, that if we can teach people how to use democratic systems, we will have better results.
That's amazing.
So in other words, instead of jumping to the last resort, we need to do the first things first. I am in contact with a couple of people in the legislature about things that we want to do in the future and how we can go forward and put in programs and things like that. But more than that, also the fact that we have aligned as organizations mean that we can help each other with each other's goals. So we can say, well, why don't you phone so-and-so? Have you tried this? You know, let's get together and put in this petition. So those relationships have grown a lot stronger as well. So I think, you know, it's about building relationships and coalitions amongst organizations, as well as building relationships with people who work in government and who are in legislation. So it's a two-edged sword. You know, we have to be able to communicate with everyone, and then it becomes a more open process. So I think because the Northern Cape legislature wants an open process, that's one of the reasons why this works.
Wonderful. Thanks so much, Celeste. So as you know, the CISPL project is coming to an end at the end of January. And we are obviously looking for opportunities to remain involved in the Northern Cape. How do you think an organization like Democracy Works should build on the work that has been done over the past 3 years in the Northern Cape?
Well, I think you've done absolutely excellent work. Let me just say that. And I'm really grateful that we were part of the program amongst organizations. But I think also there's a lot of other organizations that weren't included. So I think there's huge room for educating, and there's huge room for working with youth. So those are places that I think that you could really do great work, and getting people to understand what democracy actually is. Because what I've realized after having conversations with people coming out of the sessions with you is that a lot of South Africans don't understand how a democracy works. I think there's great room for work there. And I think that there's a lot of room for work amongst CSOs still as well. And I just want to say thank you. You put a lot of work into it, and we gain a lot from that. And I'm really grateful for the program that we've done. The fact that I learned so much is really amazing to me. So, and I'm sure there's so much more to learn, but I really appreciate the fact that you guys got hold of me and got me involved, because it was really amazing. It was an amazing journey.
The Civil Society Participation in Provincial Legislature project was made possible with the co-funding and technical assistance from the European Union and the Westminster Foundation for Democracy. Please follow our channel for more conversations with democracy. This is Liz Letebele signing out.